Morning, folks. Welcome to WFIW AM 1390 and 104.9 FM, The Bruce Dickey Show, here on a very pleasant Monday morning. I'm joined by a couple of authoresses and as well as the librarian for the Frontier Community College, Myrna Youngblood. We'll say hello to each of them one at a time. Good morning, Myrna. How are you today? Long time no see in the studio.
I'm great, Bruce. Thank you for having us.
Well, glad you're back. We need to get our book of the month thing going again.
That would be great.
That was a lot of fun.
It was fun.
I'm trying to remember, we did the spy book, and I got to tell you, we could do the book of the month club all you want, but I'm not going to read Doris's book, the whole thing.
That's quite a book there.
That's quite the large book. But I will refer to them as we go. But Myrna is the librarian at Frontier Community College, and thank you again for coming on. Joining me also to my far left is my far right, pardon me, Ruthie Shelton. Good morning, Ruthie. How you doing?
Thanks
very much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you're just traveling. You don't live up here in Illinois anymore, do you?
I've never lived in, well,
you've never
no,
lived
no,
in Illinois.
I'm born and raised Jacksonville, Florida.
Is that right? Yeah. And you still live down there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and Ruthie has written books about the Shelton gang for the most part, right?
Yes.
And you're still working on, you're now working on other books. You said you have a new series coming
up? Yes, the Untold Story series. It's a fictional account, but based on the Sheltons after they moved to Jacksonville, Florida. The first two are in print. I'm working on the last one now.
Oh, so it's a 3-book series?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming up. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
And joining also is Doris Bland. You're from Wayne County, aren't you, Doris? And
yes.
You've lived here all your life.
All my life.
Well, need you speak up just a little bit.
Well, I've been told I have a soft voice. So.
Well, I would agree with the folks who told you that, but you're doing great, okay?
Thank you.
It's your first time on the radio?
Yes, it is.
You're doing wonderfully. You'll have a great time. Tell me about Dawson by the Dozens. Well, I tell you what. What we'll do is give me a little background on yourself. You're from Wayne County. What part?
Oh, I was born in Jasper Township, but uh-huh. We moved to Fairfield when I was in the fifth grade. I started fifth grade in Fairfield.
And you have become, as part of a hobby, I guess, became an amateur or even semi-professional genealogist type of, is that what you think you're doing? I mean, looking at that book, that's hardly amateurish.
I was a certified genealogist.
You're certified.
I used to teach genealogy for Frontier College.
Oh, okay. How do you get into genealogy?
Curiosity, probably, about my ancestors is what got me into it.
Really?
I wanted to know where they came from, what they did, and that's how I got into this.
Like I said, I'm talking with Myrna Youngblood, Ruthie Shelton, Doris Bland. We're going to talk about all things going on with the books. You've got, Myrna, tell me about what's going on this week at Frontier. You've got all kinds of stuff going on out there Friday, don't you?
We do, yes. We have these pretty scary art going on. We also have some trick-or-treaters coming around from some of the area daycare centers. But what we're here for today is the local author book signing that's coming up.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Tell me about the pretty scary art first.
Okay, those are students in Frontier Community College that take Janet's class, and they have a choice of choosing to draw a pretty picture or a scary picture, and so all of those are displayed in the library. There's, I don't know all the media, but there's ink and there's charcoal, there's some pastel painting, so there's a wide variety.
I wonder what kind of percentage choose to do the scary as opposed to the pretty pictures.
It's different every year. Last year, I think we had more pretty than scary.
Really?
But this year, I would say it's pretty evenly matched.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'll be doggone. Okay, so you've got that going on all this week.
Yes.
And then you'll have the kids coming in from various schools, I guess. And
mm-hmm.
Do you have treats for them?
Yes.
Or just candy? Or are you going to give them all books, too?
We
bookmarks, maybe?
Hey, there's an idea.
There you go.
We actually give candy out usually. This year I opted for tattoos because I think they get a lot of candy.
Okay.
So, anyway, we do have a treat for everybody. They
the
would
kids
be disappointed.
The kids love the tattoos, don't they?
Oh, yes, yes.
We've been giving them out for a few years in addition to candy, and yeah, they always run back wanting a tattoo if they
right.
missed one. It's a lot of fun. Okay, then Friday.
Yes.
Friday's the big day.
Mm-hmm.
What's Friday?
Friday is our local author book signing.
Okay.
And we have authors from across the area. They're not all from Fairfield. We've got some Mount Vernon people coming. John is from Harrisburg?
Marion.
Okay. So we have 11, and the different genres are, there's local history, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of children's artists. We have a comic book writer coming from Clay City.
No kidding.
Right.
And all these folks, are they all published, self-published? They all have agents or own publishers or what?
We have a mixture. We have a couple of them that are self-published. One of them is actually does e-books. He doesn't have any physical books. They're all online.
No kidding.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What kind of books?
Science fiction.
Who's this?
Jeffrey Jake.
Okay. Jake.
Yes.
Didn't he work for the paper or something for a while?
Yes, I believe he did. Yes, he's the EMA, maybe?
Okay.
I'm not sure what his position is right
now.
But yes, he's written a few e-books. So we do have a wide variety. I think we'll have something for everybody.
Science fiction. Okay. What other authors can you tell me about?
We've got Joseph Morris, who is the comic book writer. He's from Clay City.
Uh-huh.
And he's published several.
Superman or what? What kind of?
What is his favorite here? He's got his, okay. His, what he's currently working on is Hot Fudge Sunday Adventure Club.
All right. I guess. All right. It sounds tantalizing.
He also is the owner-operator of the Torque Press, which is in Clay City.
Okay.
But he's shown his books in the Midwest, East Coast, Texas, and California, so
nice.
He's well known. So.
Nice. Okay. Some of the other folks coming.
Yes, Will Swordstrom is a
West Salem, Albion.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Uh huh. He's going to be there. He does speculative fiction. He says.
I did not realize that Will did. I know Will. I didn't know he did.
Oh, okay.
That. I haven't talked to him in 10 years, but he used to work for the Navigator, and he was a writer for them, and I guess once you start writing, you stay in that habit, don't you?
Right. Yeah.
Speculative fiction.
Yes. Uh huh. And he has like 5 books listed here, so
wow.
he's quite published there.
Who else?
We have Daniel Nally, who is from Mount Vernon. He's written 2 children's literature books, Wesleyan Creation and The Fox, Charlie the Fox, I believe is the other one. So they're for children.
Wesleyan Creation is a children's book?
Wesley, the name Wesley, uh-huh. And Creation.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I thought it was like a treatise on the Wesleyan theory from like 1750
that. No, sorry.
Oh, okay.
I didn't enunciate
that's
that
all right.
well enough.
That's pretty good. That's fine. Well, I just got confused. Well, wonderful. Anybody else you want to mention now, or we want to talk about some more folks later?
We can talk later about some others, because
okay.
I do have others.
Let me get back to Ruthie. I am fascinated, Ruthie, about the Shelton gang, and you being a Shelton yourself, and give the folks in town your relation to Fairfield and what your relation to the town is.
My dad was Little Carl Shelton. He was born in Wayne County.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was born in Carterville, but of course he grew up in Wayne County in Pond Creek.
Right.
His family, his uncles were Earl and Carl and Bernie and Roy
mm-hmm.
Shelton. And his dad was Dalta Shelton. He was named after Big Earl. I'm sorry,
Big
after
Carl.
Big Carl.
Yeah. And so you said that you grew up in Jacksonville. You never
mm-hmm.
grew up. What drew you back to this part of your past, do you think?
I never knew about my dad's past.
Yeah, tell me how did you go about finding out that your family had such a, let's call it checkered.
We'll call it
checkered
that.
History.
We'll call
that work
that.
For you?
That works
say,
this morning.
I'm going to say you're sitting right there. I'd hate to say gangsters. You're gangsters.
That's,
no, you're not. No, yeah, I don't want to say that.
Thugs, maybe thugs.
I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that either. But
my dad lived in hiding for over 50 years.
He was in
Jacksonville,
in
Florida.
Okay,
yes.
I didn't realize that he was down there trying to. I didn't realize he was still on the lam or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, exactly.
That point.
One example of how he wanted to stay off the radar when I was in high school. I wrote for the Jacksonville Journal, the newspaper there in Jacksonville. And I came home so excited. I had my first byline by Ruthie Shelton.
Yeah.
And, you know, just over the hill excited. And my parents hit the roof.
No kidding.
I was not allowed to have my name in the newspaper.
Wow.
You know, so that was, there were little clues all along that there was something going on. My when I was very small, I found a picture of a beautiful little girl. I thought she must have been a princess. She had a party dress on and was all dressed up. And I took it to my mom and I said, "Who is this little girl?" And my mom literally snatched it from my fingers. She said, "That's your daddy's first daughter." And that was never discussed again.
No kidding.
Yeah, because she was from Fairfield.
She's a Wayne County girl.
Dad had to leave her behind for her safety when the family fled to Florida in 1951.
Have you had the opportunity to reconnect, or is that?
I have. Years went by. I was actually married for years with three kids, and my husband and my dad were always working on stuff and putting stuff together. And my husband was getting something out of the cabinet at my dad's house, and he came in there and he said, "I found pictures of you when you were little, but they can't be of you because you weren't born yet." Because my sister's 11 years older than me, and I said, "Oh, that's my sister." And, of course, my husband didn't know I had a sister because that's how Sheltons are. We just, you know, keep things quiet.
That's right. You didn't. Well, you had to.
Yeah. So he said, "Well, don't you want to meet her?" And that started it. I said, "Of course, yes." Some years later, I finally was able to track her down, had contact with her. She told me later that she went home and told her husband, "That girl knows nothing about her dad's past, and it is not my position to tell her."
Is that right?
Yeah, so 20 more years went by that we could not be together until after I learned of my dad's past.
Wow, that's amazing. That's an amazing story. Folks, you're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show. I want to hear a lot more of this. I'm talking with Ruthie Shelton along with Myrna Youngblood and Doris Bland. We'll have quite a bit more about them, and I'm just fascinated by this. When we return here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, back after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate y'all tuning in. I have some fascinating guests in here. Myrna Youngblood from Frontier Community College. She's the librarian out there, and we've been talking about a book signing taking place on Friday from 1 to 5 at the Learning Resource Center out there. And, Myrna, you said that you're going to have 11 authors on site?
Yes, 11 authors.
Will you be selling books that day?
Each of the authors will have books for sale, yes. And then they'll sign them if you want to ask them questions about publishing or about the book itself. I think they're all going to be friendly and have time to answer most of those questions.
How's the fella who just does the e-book sign a book?
Well, you might have some issues there.
I just wondered.
But I did download some of them on our Kindles that we have in the library.
Oh, good.
And then he'll have a tablet himself. So,
okay.
Yes. So, yes, we won't be signing the Kindles or the tablets.
Maybe you can sign the, maybe you can give him a CD or something like that, and he can sign a CD.
There you go. There's a possibility. I'll have to talk to him.
Do any of them have, I'll ask you, Ruthie, do you have an audio book of the Shelton Gang book or Inside the Shelton Gang?
No.
I was going to say, how you've been in the publishing world for how long now?
Inside the Shelton Gang came out March 13th.
And that's your
March,
that's your first?
2013, yes.
Tell me about becoming, well, we were talking, let's finish the story, I guess, about your, so whenever you began to learn about more and more about your father's life, didn't you, back in 2004 or 2003 when
right.
he was
it
ill.
Was December of 2003. My dad had open heart surgery, and they almost lost him on the table. He was unconscious for 5 days, and as he started coming out of it, he went back in time in his mind to his Fairfield days, his days of working for his uncles. Mm-hmm. In that hospital room, he could see people that he had not seen in over 50 years. He was shooting at people. He was dealing cards. He was counting, stacking money.
Counting cash.
Lots of cash.
Wow. And you're listening to this because you're a doting daughter.
Right. I was there every day, all day long, you know, trying to help the nurses take
care
of them.
That must have been terrifically confusing to you.
Very, because the doctors had told me after the surgery they didn't know if he was going to live. They didn't know if he came out of the coma what his mental capacity would be.
Yeah.
So my concern was my dad's health.
Of course, sure.
And as he came more
lucid. And you're hearing,
you're
hearing these things, you're thinking, oh, dad's just
right.
loopy.
Well, we grew up shooting guns
yeah.
and riding motorcycles
oh, yeah.
and all this. So,
yeah,
I, you know, it wasn't that big a stretch.
Yeah.
But then, as I said, as he came more out of it, he started telling me stories from his past, but I still didn't get it. And then at one point, he said, no, you have to listen. And that was when he was telling me about his Uncle Carl getting murdered in Pond Creek.
Wow.
And at that moment, I realized, this is my dad's past.
And you had never asked him about how he grew up, I guess, or he just never offered?
Definitely never offered. There were a couple of instances over the years that I'd say, hey, what's this about?
You probably just thought he was from Jacksonville.
Yeah, I never knew where he was from.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about his past. And as I got older, I respected that was his wish.
Yeah.
And that was how I left it.
So your dad began to open up.
Yes.
And this leads you to the discovery of, well, you already knew about your sister, but this leads you also to a chance, an opportunity to bring her into his life as well, right?
Right. I wanted to see where my family was from. I did not know. I had roots here in Southern Illinois, so it took me almost a year, but I talked my dad into coming out here with us.
Yeah.
And we were in Fairfield for one whole day.
I got a question. I have to ask a question. Was the hesitation, I mean, if he'd been in hiding for so long, I can't imagine having trying to stay under the radar for that long.
Right.
Was the hesitation more because he didn't think anybody still was after him?
Yes, he did.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Were there? Was he? Were they found it?
That's still to be
seen.
Well,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter since he's passed away anyway.
Right.
Since then.
But when we got out here, as one story I like to tell, as we drove into Fairfield, he leans up and says to my husband, I have to check in with the sheriff. And at that moment, I thought, what have I gotten into?
What have I got my father into?
Got my dad into.
Yeah.
That was late at night. We were here the whole next day. The next morning, my dad wanted to go home. That was it. He was ready to go home. But the day we were here, we ended up at the newspaper office, and his picture was on the front of the newspaper.
No kidding.
And that, by the next morning, that freaked my dad out. But that was the best thing that could have happened. That newspaper was mailed to my sister, and she called me, and she said, I want to see your dad.
Really?
And she and her husband were on the airplane the next day.
No, and down to Jacksonville.
Yes, and she was in his life for the last 3 years
well, now that's
of
a,
his life.
That's a wonderful part of that
Absolutely.
Story.
Absolutely.
When did this, how did this flower into a book then?
From the moment I realized my dad was telling me about his past, I grabbed a pencil and piece of paper.
Well, see, now you said you were, you said you had been a newspaper reporter earlier in your life.
Right, when I was in high school.
Did you work as an adult, or were you a homemaker?
Yeah, I got married young, had a whole house full of kids, and I was the mom who drove the van and took my kids and all their friends everywhere. That was where my life was. And we still had a daughter at home at this point in time.
Did you try to continue doing any writing, or are you just too busy to do it?
I did when we were first married. I've been writing since I could hold a pencil. And when we were first married, I did, and I continued. You know, you write an article and send it to a magazine.
Right.
And I did sell an article to a magazine. Well, they folded before they actually published. That was kind of like, after that I just wrote for my kids and
did the check
friends
clear?
And no. And so that was kind of the defining moment. Okay, I'm a wife and mom from this point out. So when I got this story, that was my chance. That was it. Well, it wasn't until after we were here and we heard so many wonderful stories. Everything I had read that was in print about the Sheltons was bad. And we were in Fairfield, and everybody had a good Shelton story to tell. So I started...
I've already told you one of mine.
Exactly.
Crying out loud.
I started running ads and finding out all the good Shelton stories. And I'd take them out to my dad and read them to him. And sometimes he'd remember the people or, you know, something.
What do you think of that?
He loved it.
Really?
He absolutely loved it. And he would tell me the stories. And like I say, I took down every single word of it.
Sure.
After he passed away, I started really delving into. I spent 4 years at that point researching the real Shelton story. Museums and libraries and courthouses, sitting around kitchen tables of people who had never told their stories
going
before.
Going to Peoria, probably. Going to East St. Louis and going all over the place.
And talking to the descendants of the Sheltons, my cousins. And it turned into a book. At some point in time, I was contacted by my publisher, John Musgrave. He was researching and found out from Taylor Pinsino that there was a Shelton descendant who was writing a book, because I had contacted Taylor. And he called me and he said, I'll write your book.
No kidding.
About a year later, I called him back and I said, okay, let's do this.
Let's get it put together.
Yes.
What kind of process is the... I can imagine the amount of research you had done. You just had a voluminous, I presume, interviews and that. How do you winnow that down?
I wrote it as I lived it. I guess that's the best way to say it. John Musgrave told me that my story in this was the bookends to the Shelton story.
Yeah, that is kind of the good part of it.
One point that I tell in the book is when I found out that my grandmother was murdered, my dad's mom was murdered here in Fairfield in 1967. And I actually sent for the coroner's report, and I had everything sent to a post office. My sister calls it the Shelton fear. At that point, I wouldn't let anybody know where I lived or anything. And I sat there and opened that and found out that my grandmother had been poisoned.
Oh, my goodness.
And so there was a lot of emotions to go through and a lot to live through.
Well, that's amazing, and you were able to pour it into the book.
It's all in there.
Oh, wow. And it published how long ago? You said in 2013?
Yes, 2013.
How are the sales?
I'm happy.
Well, that's good. I wasn't asking for a number, but it's enough to keep you writing, though.
Absolutely.
Now, is your publisher of the next books? Is it the same publisher?
No, actually, I self-published my Untold Story series.
Tell me about the Untold Story series.
Okay, the first one is Death, Deceit, and Discovery. It's based on the Shelton Gang after they came to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want to write another true crime as long as I live.
Not.
Too tedious.
Well, you have to. So much fact check.
Exactly.
Fact checking.
I don't ever want to fact check another thing as long as I live.
Not.
I just want to enjoy the writing process.
Yeah.
I changed the name from Shelton to Callahan because my dad lived in Callahan his last years. It picks up in the mid '60s with the Sheltons in Florida after my grandmother was murdered, and that's where it begins. The second book in the Untold Story series is Shadow Siblings and Suicide, and it picks up in the mid-70s. and continues the story, and I'm writing the third and final in the series now.
And you'll have these first two open, available for sale also this
yes.
Friday?
Yes, and they are on Kindle ebook, these okay. two, the Untold Story ones. But yes, I will have them available to sell.
What does, I can only imagine what your thought process is from now, from 15 years ago. As you were just bebopping along through life as a
different person.
As a happy person.
I'm
a happy. Are you different? But are you happy? Are you unhappy?
Oh, I'm totally happy.
Well, that's wonderful. You were probably happy before.
I was happy before. I loved my life of living on Black Hammock Island in Jacksonville, Florida, and raising the kids. I loved my life, but I have a different life now. Yeah. Of course, the kids are all grown. I have two grandchildren now.
Oh, wonderful.
So they're our hearts. My husband's retired, so now we're able to do my thing.
Congratulations. That's wonderful. Tell me, after you finish the third book in the series, what do you think about moving on to next?
I have a couple of ideas.
Yeah.
I told my husband, he was asking me the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's shall we say, my biggest fan.
Yeah.
When he finished reading the second
probably
in the
biggest
series.
Fan, and he may be somewhat of a critical eye that you also depend on.
Absolutely.
To look at your stuff.
When he finished reading the second one in the series, he looked at me and he said, "Get busy. I got to know how this ends." And I'm like, okay. It's kind of based on our lives here. You kind of already know.
Doesn't he already know what's going on with it? I would think he would already know.
He really enjoyed it. But yeah, I'm throwing around one idea. Yeah, I've got. I don't know if I can handle it emotionally.
Oh, okay.
But I think it would be a very good book.
Well, that's the thing. That's also the process of the writing must have been terrifically emotional for you.
It was, and as I say,
cathartic,
my husband lived
I presume.
Through it. Absolutely. I've been working with Amy Mitchell Erickson, giving tours, the Wayne County Shelton tours, which we'll pick up again next summer.
Yeah.
And in doing that, I've been going back through the Shelton Games
book. Those have
been
very popular, haven't they?
They've sold out like crazy. It has been so much fun, and I tried to dress in character for the late 40s. I'm sure I was a dismal failure at that, but in going back through my book, I can see the anger and the pain I lived in while I was writing that book.
Really?
Yes. And that's not who
you don't,
I am.
And you don't want to go, I don't blame you, you don't want to go back through something like that. Well, I tell you what, Ruthie, thank you very much.
Thank you. I
really do appreciate it. This is the Bruce Dickey Show. I've also got Doris Bland in here, and she hasn't spoken at all. I just feel terrible. I've been dominating the conversation, and then Ruthie's been chipping in a little bit, and Myrna Youngblood. We'll be back. We're going to talk a lot more. We're going to get Doris to scoot up to the microphone, and we'll talk with her when we return on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW 104.9 FM in Fairfield. After these.
Things on bet now, of course. The city fathers they're trying to endorse. The reincarnation of Paul Revere's horse. But the town has no need to be nervous. The ghost of Bell Star, she hands down her wits. To Jezebel and Nun, she violently knits. A bald wig for Jack the Ripper, who sits at the head of the Chamber of Commerce. Mama's in a factory, she ain't got no shoes. Daddy's in the alley, he's looking for food. I'm in the kitchen with a tombstone blues. The hysterical bride in the penny arcade. Screaming, she moans, I've just been made. Then sends out for the doctor who pulls down the shade and says, my advice is to not let the boys in. Now the medicine man comes and he shuffles inside. He walks with a swagger.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Bruce Dickey here along with Myrna Youngblood sitting across the way. As well as Ruthie Shelton, she's the author of Inside the Shelton Gang. Also, I'm joined by Doris Bland, who has published 24 books And I said moments ago, they're all three in here chastising me right now because I said I wasn't going to read her book. It's just big, Doris. It's a huge book.
Yes, it is.
I'll read it. I'm only
773 pages.
773 pages. And this is Dawson what?
Dawson by the Dozens.
Dawson by the Dozens. Tell me about this book as well as as well as some of the other ones.
Well, this one goes back into the 1600s in Virginia.
Okay.
There's five Dawson brothers.
Okay.
And they live in Virginia for two or three generations. Then my line comes to Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And one branch comes to Fairfield, and they spread out all over the United States.
Sounds like kind of like the plot of How the West Was Won or something like that,
well,
if you remember
could,
that
it
old
could
movie.
Be that.
Where were they from before they went to Virginia? Did you get that far?
Well, that's a little bit debatable. I have a chapter in the book on the theories.
Oh, really? Nobody knows?
No.
For sure.
We're not able to trace them to one family. I mean, to one particular spot in England. But they're from England.
Okay. Doris is a farmer. You no longer work at Frontier, I presume?
No.
You're a genealogist?
I was a certified genealogist. But when I became employed by the post office full-time as a rural letter carrier in Pond Creek, I didn't teach anymore.
See, now you would know where the Felix House was that I was talking with Ruthie about.
Probably.
Yeah, the old Felix House. Tell me a little bit about, you said that you have an 11-volume series on cemeteries in Wayne County.
I copied the inscription on every tombstone in Wayne County over a period of 20 years and published them in 11 volumes.
Through when?
1971 to 1993.
That seems really voluminous.
Well, there's a lot of tombstones.
Where did you go? I mean, what got you to want to see, I guess as part of your avocation, your vocation and your avocation, to see all the cemeteries? What made you think to do that?
What started it? I was working on the Sun's genealogy, which is yours, too.
Yeah. Doris just told me we're cousins like three times, and I didn't know about any of them, so I feel bad about that now. Thanks.
I went to Lapin Cemetery.
Uh-huh.
And copied all the Sun's tombstones.
Okay.
Came home, put them in my charts.
Okay.
And then I realized that James Sun's had an elder daughter named Rebecca who had married Valentine Morris.
Okay.
So I go back to Lapin Cemetery, and there they are in the front row with their babies.
Okay.
I copied those, went home again.
Yeah.
Then I discovered one of them married a Daniels, one of them married a Green. Before it was over, I almost had the whole cemetery copied.
You just had, you basically, as you were trying to finish up what you were doing with this one family branch.
That's right.
You collected the whole cemetery.
Yes.
But then it went to other cemeteries, I guess, as well.
I went to a major genealogical library doing research and found there were shelves of cemetery inscriptions.
Really?
And our courthouse burned in 1886, so there's no birth, death, marriage records beyond that.
Right.
So they start there. So I just kind of filled a gap in our records in Wayne County.
Can you tell over the years, if you started doing this pretty hardcore in 1971?
Well, 70.
1970. Can you tell over years the erosion on the cemeteries as you go from a cemetery 20 years later?
Yes, you can.
Really?
The stone, they're getting harder to read. Even back then, I had to take chalk.
Yeah, I didn't know if you used chalk or if you used probably had to, because, be gone. Where's the strangest place in Wayne County, you think, to find a cemetery?
The strangest place?
Yeah. I went on a cemetery hunt with Doug. My brother is a kind of a genealogical bulldog hound type of thing, too. And he took the whole family, the five of us kids, we went to find, in one day, we found 50 different ascendants and in like 11 or 12 different cemeteries. And we'd have to crawl up and down over ditches and stuff to get to some of them. The ones that aren't terrifically well kept or have not been for a while. What's this wildest, the wildest forest you've had to go into to get into the cemetery?
Probably down in near It's near Pond Creek, and it's above the Wabash River. And when I was there, and I don't remember what year it was, but someone had actually been digging into a grave. I came back to Fairfield and reported it.
No kidding.
Yes.
Just in the middle of the woods?
Yes. It's high above the river. You look down a cliff there to the river. But somebody had actually been digging in it, and I didn't like that.
Were they, I wonder, I don't know.
I don't know either.
How long had the remains been there?
Oh, years. Maybe 100. I don't know.
Wow.
I can't remember.
What's the oldest gravestone in Wayne County?
It's a 1820, and it's southwest of Fairfield in Clark Cemetery, and it's back in a field overgrown, honeysuckle, briars, snakes.
Really? Probably. You got to get entertainment out of this, I guess, right? I mean, because I enjoy walking through cemeteries and seeing the names of these folks, and the inscriptions are often very interesting, right?
Yes. There's some that are 15, 16 lines long.
No kidding.
That's right. I published a book called Gone Home.
Uh-huh.
Because that's the most common epitaph in Wayne County is Gone Home.
Really?
And all that book is just the epitaphs, not the names or anything.
The one I'm entertained with quite a bit is Simpson Cemetery. That's a really nice little cemetery down in the Pond Creek area, isn't it?
Yes, that's the one that has the tombstone that's supposed to turn around at midnight, but I've never gone down.
Okay,
there to
now
see
you're this. Gonna have to. All right, now you gotta tell the story about that, Doris. If you're gonna start giving me urban legends here,
yes,
I guess that'd be a rural legend, wouldn't it?
The first time I went there, the gate creaks when you open it, I had heard there was a tombstone that turned around at midnight every night. Well, I chalked the stones, the old ones, to be able to read them.
Yeah.
And I started to chalk a stone, and it began to turn. So I knew
which
stone
it was,
and goosebumps raised up on my arms.
Wow. That's pretty wild. See, now, of course, you would also know certainly all the old Hobbit's Hill stories and all that kind of thing.
No.
No? Arrington, you don't know about the cemetery on Enterprise Road as you're heading north toward... It's got the archway on the right-hand side?
Oh, yes. That's the German cemetery.
Okay.
Oh, I could tell you a strange story on that one, too.
Do?
My son and two of his friends, one of whom turned out to be my son-in-law, decided, they heard that if you went to a cemetery at night and took a recorder, that you could record the voices of the people that lived there.
That was Hobbit's Hill.
And they wanted to hear German-speaking sounds. So they went there, and there was ice on, snow, and the silly kids could have went off in the ditch.
Of course.
Going up there.
But yeah, it's a little winding road.
Yes, it is. I didn't realize that was Hobbit's Hill that you were
talking about.
Anyway.
How'd they do?
They recorded absolutely pure silence.
Well, you know, probably what Ghostbusters or somebody would say is that the ghost hunters would say that they knew they were being recorded.
That's right. They didn't want to be recorded.
So you've told a couple stories. Do you occasionally get creeped out a little bit in going through the cemeteries? I mean, if you've seen every grave site in Wayne County, you've seen your share.
Yes, but the most interesting cemetery to me would be Henson Cemetery.
Which one's that? Where's that?
That's way up in the northwest part of the county. It has Indian Lid.
Oh, okay.
She's buried there, and there's a tombstone in there where the people, I don't know if they buried their dog there or not, because it has their names, and then it says Little Penny died in, I think, 1951, and there's an outline of a dog on the stone. There's just a lot of little interesting things.
You know, one of the heartbreaking things whenever you go through a cemetery, to me, when you go through an old cemetery, is you see the mom and dad, and then you'll see just the infant gravestones just throughout. That must be pretty heartbreaking to you.
Well, that's like the Lapin Cemetery, because James Elias' sons and his wife, there's a whole row of children.
Wow.
They weren't all babies. One of them, I think, was kicked in the head by a horse.
Oh, dear.
Just different things.
Yeah, different ways the folks didn't survive back in the day.
Right.
What books are you going to have for sale on Friday?
Well, I'll have my cemetery series, and there's two books of Wayne County, Illinois, newspaper inscriptions.
Oh, really?
That's the births, deaths, marriages, and divorces from 1855 to 1875, and then from 1876 to 1879. That, too, fills a gap in Wayne County history that's not in the courthouse because of the fire.
No kidding. If someone knows some of your other work that you may not have there, they'll be able to contact you there and be able to collect or ask you how they could get a hold of some of that, right?
Yes, but I will have several books there for sale.
Well, I tell you what, all three of you, I am just fascinated by this. Myrna, sounds like you're going to have a big day on Friday.
I'm looking forward to it. Yes, we are going to have a big day. It'll be great.
Anybody else? Anybody else you've got coming?
Yes.
I'm running out of time. If you've got anybody you're really interested,
I'll just list them. Billy Taylor's coming with all of her books. A children's author, Janet Yeager from Mount Vernon. John Musgrave is a publisher. Jeff Jake, we mentioned. Ruth Ann Koontz has a pictorial story of the Johnsonville schools. Salisa Seibold will be there as a children's author as well. So,
well, it sounds like just a Myrna was saying in the break that Doris, you came up with the whole idea for this thing, for the book signing.
She had spoke at our NARF meeting, and I had told her this was going to be published.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned we might have a book signing. I think it's your idea, not mine.
Well, Myrna,
collaboration.
That's right. Myrna tries to give extra credit to other places. That's well. Are you looking forward to it?
Oh yes, I'm looking forward to book signing.
Well, ladies, I really appreciate you coming in today. It's been a real hoot and a pleasure for me, and I look forward to seeing you. Best of luck on Friday, and good luck the rest of the way, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. That was Doris Bland, Ruthie Shelton, and Myrna Youngblood. We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show tomorrow. Thanks again for listening, folks. See you tomorrow.